Bill Flores joining us in the district. One of the things I'd like to get your thoughts on, Washington Post has done an investigation piece, and they found over six dozen members of Congress had recently sponsored or co-sponsored bills that helped industries to which they had personal ties. And there were some examples we went through, but the idea is that that would seem like something that would fall within the ethics bounds, that you shouldn't be able to do that as a member of Congress.
Well, in my opinion, you shouldn't be able to do this. And, again, it's one of those things that we're trying to clean up in Congress. As you know, about 12 months ago, and you and I talked about this legislation I'd introduced called Reconnecting Congress with America, and it basically says that Congress has to live under the same types of laws that everybody else does. And so we still have these things that happen, and it's still disconcerting to me. I hope that we can get this and many other things fixed within Congress.
One of the things I'd like to talk about is something that I don't know that it necessarily affects people within your district so much, but just an overall view in the government. That has to do with the Warren Act. We've discussed how what's going to happen through sequestration is that there are going to be massive cuts in the defense industry, and by law, you basically have to tell those workers ahead of time that they are going to be laid off. Well, those announcements are going to come right before Election Day, and obviously that doesn't look good. And basically, it sounds like the government has told employers who have to let their employees know about those layoffs that they will indemnify them.
Well, that's right. And it wasn't the government that did it. It was the administration. Mm-hmm. The administration has issued guidance to large employers, and particularly Lockheed, to say that if they did not comply with the Warren, first of all, they said, we don't think you have to comply with the Warren Act. And number two, if you don't comply with the Warren Act, then you're sued by your employees, which is provided under the Warren Act, then we will indemnify you using taxpayer funds. And
again, using taxpayer funds.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So essentially paying a company if they get sued for not complying with the law. And I don't believe the administration has any legal authority to do this. We're going to look into it. But, it's just one of these many things that are happening for political purposes as Obama tries to get himself reelected.
It seems to be just an absolute thumbing your nose at the law. The reason it was put in place, obviously, there are reasons for that, and I find it very, very odd.
Well, there's a pattern of this. You know, the president decided he wasn't going to enforce the Defense of Marriage Act. He decided that he wasn't going to enforce our immigration laws. It just, I can give you dozens of examples. It just seems to be a contempt for the law and a contempt for the Constitution.
There's been Bill Flores joining us this morning from the district. There's been basically a 180 now in the story about what happened in Libya. No more film. We're talking about a terrorist attack, and actually, is it the White House and the State Department pointing fingers at one another? Where are we on this?
Well, I'll tell you, as I told you a couple of weeks ago, we had a classified briefing with Secretary of State Clinton and folks from the Defense Department and the National Intelligence Apparatus. And in that briefing, and I can't give you the specific details because they classified the briefing, but I can tell you the Secretary of State Clinton lied to the members of Congress that were in that briefing based on the news that's come out since then. And now I think the State Department is beginning to try to show the truth in this and to distance themselves from the initial announcements from the White House, and there are some slimy things going on here, and again, all in the name of politics, all in the name of trying to bury this tragedy until after November 6th.
Well, you can't pretend to be in the mind of the Secretary of State, but if the State Department's pulling away from this, who do you think's behind that? The fact that they basically want to tell the story as they understand it now.
Well, I think it's probably Axelrod, the president's political advisor, is probably the one that's behind this. It seems to me like the political side of the Obama organization, not the government, but the political side, the campaign side, has been driving the messaging coming out of Jay Carney's mouth at the press secretary at the White House, as well as all of the administration.
Yeah, we mentioned this morning it has been 15 days since Jay Carney has had a press briefing, and this is usually a daily thing that goes on. It sounds like there are a lot of things that they don't want to address.
Well, they're not having press briefings. The president hasn't attended his national security briefings. If he had done that, back in early September, he might have known that this was getting ready to happen in Libya, because we already had the markers that were showing up that we were going to have a problem there. Not only coming from our ambassador, but coming from the Brits, coming from our intelligence services. It's just a shame that we've got somebody out campaigning instead of attending his security briefings.
Bill Flores joining us this morning. Obviously, a report that came out, and there's been plenty of political fodder there, and Jack Welch has commented on it, the 7.8% unemployment rate. Now, I know you have, certainly you have a party line that you can stand on, but what kind of factual things have you been able to discover necessarily that would cast doubt on this 7.8 number?
Well, it's just like the laws of physics. Anytime you have some sort of an action, you're going to have an equal and opposite reaction. And in this situation, if the U3 unemployment rate goes down, then you're going to see other numbers move. The other numbers that you might see move would be the U6 rate, which is unemployed, underemployed, and those working part-time. And that, or those that have given up for work, that number didn't move at all. Or you'd see a number in the a movement in the labor force participation rate. That number didn't move at all. Or you'd see the total number of people that are in the U6 category, which is about between 23 and 24 million people, move. That number didn't move. So it's almost like they said, okay, we've got to have this target number, and so just fill in the blank with what you need, and none of the other numbers moved. It's really baffling how the inconsistencies in the jobs report were cooked up.
They brought out that number wrench, huh?
I call it pencil whipping. That's what what engineers sometimes do when they want to get the result they want. They don't do it often, but sometimes.
Well, you don't mention it, but you're a CPA, just so people know. I mean, you do have a little bit of background when it comes to numbers.
Now, I do understand the numbers, and that's the reason this report was so baffling. And, of course, it's I wonder how many more October surprises we may have like this.
You know, we have had, and I've commented, in the Economic Outlook Conference that we have here in Bryan College Station, the words have been spoken that it's amazing how that number never makes it to 10%. And so is there some sort of a clarifying transparency, something that we could do that would actually set up a standard that you could feel comfortable with that number when it came out every month?
Well, we need to go back and look at it seems to me like we need to pull this operation out of the executive branch and make it some sort of an independent agency where it's not subject to politics from any branch of government or from any party. Because this particular month's report, as well as an announcement that the BLS made 2 years ago that they were going to quit relying on state data and develop their own data, leads me to believe that that the seeds were being sown for this interesting report several months ago, and we need to strip this out so we can have reliable data.
Congressman Bill Flores joins us when his schedule permits, whether Congress is in session or out. Thanks for the time this morning, Bill.
Scott, great to be with you on News Talk 1620. I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country and our military men and women. And by the way, we lost a soldier on September the 28th that lived in Tolar, the north part of this district.